Blog Talk Radio.
Now tuned in to the mother greatest.
Yes, we are back. We are back. Welcome back to Let's Chat, y'all. I am Miss Felicia, and you know I got my right hand, and most of the time she is my left, the fabulous Miss Tony. We are talking that talk today. We got a Thursday night girls' night tea.
I see. What a great topic tonight. Also, time flies. Now, you and I both know about that time flying. That's all it
does. Yes, absolutely. Time flies. We got three fabulous guests on here. Time flies when you are working, when you are having fun, when you are pushing your brand, when you are walking, living your best life. Time really flies by, and it's like, wow, it was just that. That was just the other day. It honestly does. And we got three fabulous guests: JB Vample, Shataya Sims, and Arthur Rain. They're going to come in and kick it with us in the chat room today, T.
Awesome. Another ladies' night. Just talking about ladies' night, if you guys missed last week's show, it was phenomenal. It was like one in a million. We had a great host of women. I believe it was Friday night, Leash. Is it Thursday or Friday? Check the archives. But they went off. They were fabulous women. They were dropping jewels, and just to have their energy in the chat room was just phenomenal.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. So I'm so excited to see what these ladies have for us today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We just want to thank you guys for hanging with Leash and I. And speaking of time flies, we have been on this show a couple of years now, and it seems like time is really flying, Leash. We've had some great guests that have come through the doors of Let's Chat, and we are so appreciative of each and every one of them. And that's just another aspect of how time flies, because we've already surpassed our 200th show. We've been nominated for various awards, and need I remind you, we are a two-time award-winning show. I just want to throw that out. That's how much time has been flying for us here on Let's Chat. But thank you, everyone, that has been supporting Leash and I, both on and off the air. We really appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Be awesome. It's just so awesome. This is actually our 225th show today. So we're at 225, and we are having a good time. We enjoy what we do. We do what we do for a reason. If you would love to come and kick it with us here in the chat room, or you might have an author that you want to see in the chat room, just send your request to thechatradioshow@gmail.com. You can pick us up on any podcast, Let's Chat with Miss Tony and Leisha. Any podcast you can pick us up iTunes. If you want to listen to our archives here on blogtalk.com, we so appreciate you guys for always supporting us. It's always people that listen to us, and we don't know that they listen. But we really, really appreciate all of those that take time out just to show us love on a regular basis.
Absolutely. And 2 1/4. That's our show tonight, 2 1/4.
Yeah, we 2 1/4 tonight. We 2 1/4. We 2 1/4.
Absolutely.
We are 2 1/4 now.
Yes,
we will be going on break. We're going on break in the month of September. So, but Tony don't get a break, because Tony will be on break, but her sports show will
be back.
So y'all gotta tune into her sports show on Tuesday nights.
Absolutely, and with the one and only sports guru himself, Mr. Jazz Scoreboard. I miss talking to Jazz. He was chopping it up on text the other day. He always cracked me up, because Jazz, for those that don't know, he always has a new phone issues going. So I sent him a text, and it took him about 5 or 8 hours. Talking about, who's this? That's Jazz for you.
I'm glad he got a new phone, because that one time, it was a little rough.
It was, Leisha, it was. We were ragging on him all the time. But for those that are just tuning in, Leisha and I, you know, we always getting into it, like we don't have new guests up in the chat room, new listeners online, so we thank you once again. But just to let you guys know what Leisha and I do here on Let's Chat, we love celebrating literature, because we are first and foremost readers, but not just readers, we just love all the arts, and we celebrate it in a royal way, no matter what it may be. We've had so many walks of life that has come through the doors of this chat, so make sure you check out those archives, because they have dropped some tremendous jewels for us as well as our listeners. But we love doing it in a royal way. We love to interact with our guests in a fun, and I do mean fun, intimate and friendly environment. For those that know our show, we always end our interviews with each and every guest with a fun question, you know. So make sure you always tune in and go back, because we've had some doozies, Leash. But we love feeling the passion of our guests, and we have some passionate women up in the chat room tonight. So we hope you guys are excited about tonight's 2 1/4 show with the wonderful J.D. Vample, Shataya Sims, and Arthur Rain. We are ready to talk about how time flies.
Absolutely. Our first guest is going to be fabulous J.B. Now, y'all, when she first came onto the show, I think that was when her first book came out. I want to say when her first book came out, if I'm not mistaken, or the second one. So I'm excited that we are getting her back in here to see what she's been cooking in her creative kitchen. We're going to take a brief break. We're going to hit you with some of that Georgia Clay. Shout out to the fabulous Xavier Lewis. We see him doing so many great things, getting ready for his album to drop. So we're going to hit you with some of that Georgia Clay, and we'll be back.
Okay.
Busting my tail on a 9 to 5. Just to keep up, try to stay alive. Promise my lady we gon' be alright. She be crying while she praying for a better life. Hustling on the side for a bag of rice. Gotta feed the fam, gotta pay the price. Gotta keep trucking through the Georgia clay. Gotta stay searching for a better day. Gotta keep my faith till make a way. Gotta get extended so the gas can pay. Sweet Georgia, hold me down. My feet planted on solid ground. From the New York coast to the Florida shine, up to the Maryland D.C. line, back down south, red peach prime. Sweet Georgia, where I reside. Tell me, why do I have to cry out? Tell me, why should I even pray? Tell me, why should I worry about it? Tell me, why should I lose my head? Tell me, why do I have to cry out? Tell me, why should I even Georgia, 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 Georgia trying to find my way. Staring in space, dreaming of a day. I've been fishing for a blessing just to hear you say, well done, son, not a prize to pay. From my shoulders weight, from the burdens laid. Darkest fruit from mistakes I made. Sweet Georgia, hold me down. Keep my feet planted on solid ground.
Tell me why do I have to cry out?
Discouraged to tell you feel, but just have the power within. But All right, all right, all right. Yeah. All right, all right, all right.
We are back. We are back. Welcome to Last Chat. I'm Miss Leisha. You know I got my right hand, the fabulous Miss Tony. We are here about to talk that talk with the fabulous J.B. Vample. Welcome, sweetie.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
You are so welcome. We're excited to hear what you've been doing since last time.
Yes, you got to let us know what you've been cooking in your creative kitchen over there.
when was the last time I was on? We'll just start with this. I've been on a book tour last year, and now we're going again this year. I did about 20. What were you asking me now? Or was I cutting in? I'm sorry.
No, you're going right.
No, we want to know what you've been doing,
okay,
honey.
Okay. So I was on last year. I was on the book tour. I did about 20 events last year, and I put out a couple more books. And my most recent book is the sixth book of my college life series that has been I've been publishing since December 2015. I put out the sixth book just in July, and I'm still touring this year. And actually, tomorrow I'm flying out to California for a book fair. So pretty
awesome.
Busy.
Wow,
okay.
That's awesome.
Now I have a question
Thank
for
you.
You. Where do you get all of these book events in? Tours, like, where do you get the information from? If there's an author listening, they're like, I want to do book tour. What do I do? Give them five. Drop some jewels on them.
Sure. I actually some of the events from last year I've gotten from I think it's ALBC.com. I want to say that, and I Googled some. Some I looked for on Eventbrite, and because of the subject matter of my book, which is a series that follows five Black women through their years of college, I actually did a vendoring event at colleges, like HBCUs. So I went on their sites to find out when they had vending events where people can come and just, you know, have their product there and sell. So I went to Lincoln and Howard University and University of Maryland Eastern Shore. So I try to find things that, you know, I can find my target audience at. I did actually a Black College Expo. I did two. I did one in Atlanta, and I did the one in Maryland. And I'm actually going to be doing the one in New York next month. So different avenues I use to find events for my own tour.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Now, okay, so you're touring, you're writing. Where do you balance it from? Because you're a wife. You got stuff going on. So how do you balance all of that?
I just prioritize. I also work a full time job. You know, the writing is the career. The job funds it. Eventually, I'll be able to leave the job and write full time. That's what I'm working towards. So I just find time to do it. You know, for years I've been just working and not really doing anything to, you know, really further my career. So now that I'm in my career, I make time for it. I make the time for it. I work my job. I'm still a wife, and I do my tour and I do my writing. And just I make the time for it. Sometimes I'm tired, but you know I'm still gonna make the time for it because the career, the writing is what I want to do. This is what I'm meant to do in life. And until I can do this full time, I'm just gonna grind and manage it all.
Absolutely. We want to shout out the husband though because that is her right hand. He be at these events. Like, look, this is how much the book is. He'd be right there.
He's very, 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 very supportive. Very supportive.
And that's so important. You know, it really is. It makes what you do a little bit easier when you have that support of your spouse or your significant other.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. I'm going out of town without him this weekend. And, you know, it's okay, hey, see when I get back. Wish you luck. Sell, you know, it's good. It's good.
I hear him now. Awesome. You ain't sell no books, no baby. You can't go back there. I understand, but no, you can't go back there because you didn't sell no books last time.
I know, right? But, JB, this is Tony. When exactly, would you share with our audience, when did you realize that the writing was the career that you wanted and not just the job that you grind at? And how did you determine?
Yeah, well, the writing, I've always done writing, like even since I was little. But at that time, until a couple of years ago, I didn't. It was just basically a hobby. It was something that I've always just done. It's something that was just a part of me to do. I just did it effortlessly. I don't want to say effortlessly because writing does take effort. But I'm just saying it's just always something that I've done. And I didn't think of it when I was younger as a career. It was just something that was a part of me. And a couple of years ago, I would say when I was turned 34, I got to a point where I was working my job, and at the position I was, I'm like, I can't take this. I can't take it anymore. I have to do something else. I'm not happy where I'm working. And I mean, I've switched jobs since then, but still, you know, so I'm like, I came to a point where I'm like, what do you want to do, Jess? Like, what is it that you really want to do? It's something. I know what it is. And writing just kept coming back to me. It's like, you, and in my mind, I'm like, chick, you have all these, you sit on these books since you were 17 years old. You're just writing them just because it's in you to do. So this is what you're meant to do. And I listened to myself, and I took the steps necessary to publish. And I made a promise to myself in the beginning of that year. I said, by the end of that year, which was 2015, you're going to publish this first book. And this is all I was saying to myself. And by the grace of God, I got it done. And I've been hitting the ground running ever since, so to speak.
I love it. Wow. I love it. So when you're writing, what is, and your pen has grown. How has your pen grown from the first book you sat down to write to now?
Well, my mindset is a lot different now. So how I write things and scenes and characters and situations is a lot different. Now, when I started writing this series, you know, I was writing before I was 17, but I started writing the series at 17. So my pen has definitely evolved from the 17-year-old mind frame to now I'm 37 years old. So, you know, how I think I'm definitely more matured, and how I tell a story is more, I would say, makes a lot more sense. I know how to mix in, you know, the drama and the humor. I know how to bring out, you know, make you either hate or love a character. So it's like I feel like it's just grown tremendously. Not perfect, but it definitely has grown a lot. My characters and the way I tell their stories has matured a lot, but that's come with my age, you know, how I'm mature and how I look at things and view the world. That's how I portray certain things in my writing based on what I've learned.
Wow, when you realize that, that's powerful. That this is Tony. We try to remember to identify ourselves because we sound so much alike. But talking about your series and the growth that you have seen within yourself, why this series? Why the College Life series?
Well, this series is a very near and dear to me. Like, these characters, they've been with me for 20 years. And I feel like it is their stories can not only entertain, but can actually help people. I've had, when I went to Howard University to sell books, I had a student actually came. This was her freshman year, and she had purchased my book somewhere else, like at another event I've done. And she told me, she said, you know, I read it, I loved it. And she said, this actually got me looking forward to college. And that was really like mind-blowing to me, and very eye-opening and very humbling to me, you know, that I feel like not only do these characters entertain and make people laugh, but they can make people reflect, make people think, and make people, you know, either look forward to going to school or reliving their school days. So not only do I want the characters to mean something to the readers, but they mean a lot to me. And I had to put this out there. This is another reason why I self-published, because I didn't want to, you know, I faced rejection doing the trying to go traditional route, but this is before I really decided to self-publish. This was like years ago when I first tried to dip my hand in publishing and I got rejected. But it is what it is. But I've realized that no matter how this book series is put out, I want to put it out. This is something that I have to do and want to do. So self-publishing was how I've done it, and will continue to do it.
That's awesome. And just tell our listening audience a little bit about the College Life series and the evolving that you have put into the series.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
Just tell our listening audience a little bit about the series, the College Life series, and how it has evolved, how you've up to your sixth book, you said, in this series.
Mm-hmm. I published the sixth book recently. So the College Life series, it is a 9-book fiction series, and it follows the lives of 5 young Black women as they go through their college years. These characters are thrown together by chance, like their first semester of freshman year. And these girls come from completely different backgrounds. They have different upbringings. They have different ways of confronting and dealing challenges and dealing with life in general. So it's a character-driven series. So through each book, the characters go through a series of events to start to change them and to shape them into the adults that they become, you know, throughout the book. It is a lot of drama in the book. It is a lot of, you know, bickering. It's a lot of family issues. It's a lot of relationship issues. It's a lot of secrets and things like that. But it's a lot of humor mixed in it. So I like to call them fun reads and easy reads. So each book tells the events of a semester. So the reason why I have 9, because the first 8 books are through the characters' 4 years of college, you know, those 2 main semesters to a college year. And the 9th book will follow the characters 5 years after they graduate. So it'll wrap up their college years and then kind of give the reader insight into how they're living life post-college.
Oh, I like that.
I'm on book number 6. Yes, thank you.
And so how far do you think you're going to take that series?
Oh, I have big plans in my mind. In my head, I see a TV show. I eventually see, you know, maybe a movie for, like, the final book. I see myself doing more touring. I see myself in bookstores. Oh, I have, trust me, in this mind of mine, I have a lot of plans for this series. So it's just a matter of executing everything. But I think I'm on my way. But I've had readers tell me, though, that if it was a TV show, they would definitely watch it. So why not, you know?
Exactly. Everybody else is getting a TV show.
Right.
That's awesome.
Now, what are some of the quirky things you do when you sit down to write?
Quirky things. Okay. Okay, well, I don't know if it's really quirky, but I like to listen to music. I like to listen to music. I like to have like some green tea. I don't know if that's quirky. I don't know, but I like to have green tea. I like to listen to music. Definitely like to listen to music. That's really all I do. Sometimes I will, when I sit down and I'm actually trying to think, not really think of a scene, but trying to execute a scene. A lot of times when I write, most of the times when I write off the top of my head. I don't really write things down. It's just the scenes are in my head. Sometimes I will talk out the scenes, like in the characters' voices and stuff. That sounds crazy, don't it? But that's okay. So I'll talk out the scenes. I'll really sit here and talk out the scenes and try to mimic each character and try to channel each character and talk it out to see how it's going to sound when I'm writing it on paper. So that may be a little quirky. I'll say that. One of the things I do.
There's nothing. If it works for you, then it works for your readers. Now, this is Tony again. Since the inception of your first book, College 101, and it does proceed over a course of a few years, have you ever started out one of these books thinking that this is the direction it's going to go, but do you look at, like, everyday life, things in the news and the paper, and it kind of takes a different spin?
No, I don't. Well, when I first started the series, the book, I knew that I wanted to make it a series. That I didn't know. I didn't know I was going to, I didn't eventually, originally do want to do 9 books. I was just going to do the 8. But as years went on, I decided I was going to do a 9th book. I don't, as far as putting modern, I would say modern day things, like stuff that's happening in the news and stuff, I don't. I don't like to time stamp my books. I will say if that makes any sense. I don't put a time. That's like, I don't name years in the book. There's no years, and there's not 2005. I don't like to have a time stamp on it. So a lot of things that's going on now, I don't have in the book. If you read it. You know, I don't have anything to say, oh, well, that's in 2015. That happened in 2018. I try to keep that stuff out. I touch on a lot of main issues, But like current events and stuff, I don't touch on it. I don't like to date my book.
So that's like if you pick it up like 10 years from now.
Exactly. I want you to feel like you're in the moment. Exactly. But that's just how I write. That's how I write.
I love it. So if you were not writing books, what would you be doing?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, believe it or not, I actually went to school for computer science. I don't know if I would still be doing that because I really don't remember too much that I learned at University of Maryland. It's a great school, trust me. But I chose the wrong major, and that's because of my own mind or what I didn't feel like doing. But I don't know what I would be doing, really. I know I'll be doing something because I know I had to get out of that position I was in. But I don't know. Like, I just can't right now, like where I'm at now, I can't imagine not doing the writing. I can't imagine not doing it because I don't think anything else would make me happy as far as career wise.
But you know, JB, you touch on a subject. I'm sorry, Lisa. You touch on the subject of that a lot of college students, especially freshmen, you know, experience that first year choosing the wrong major. Do you touch on that in your series?
Some of the books have not gone out or not out yet. So, but some characters do, you know, kind of throughout the time, around the time when they're getting ready to, you know, go into that next level, they start to kind of question why they chose the major that they did, or question if they still want to do what they went to school for. So some of it is touched. Some characters, they're very happy in their major and, you know, whatever. But I don't want to really give away anything because some of these books have not come out yet. But, yeah, some characters do struggle with that. My reasoning for choosing computer science was because I thought at that age, it was like 17, it was going to make me money. And that's what I wanted to do because computers were, so big and still are, but still. And I didn't have the patience for it. I don't have the patience for math. And computer science is a lot of math. It's calculus. Mm-hmm. It's all kinds of stuff. And I've just never been good at it. Not to say I could not be good at it. I didn't want to do it. So I should have chosen, you know, English or, you know, something like that. But you know what? Hindsight is 20/20, and I probably wouldn't be doing or be where I am now if I didn't make those mistakes. So there you go.
But it's true, you know, like my son experienced his first 2 years of college. He wasn't happy once you get into the nitty-gritty of whatever major you choose. So it's common, and I'm sure it'll continue to happen as long as there are freshman college.
Yep. And I actually did a college workshop last year, and I did tell the young ladies, I said, you know what, because some of them kind of expressed that, you know, they wanted to do certain things, and their families were like, no, you should do this because what you want to do may not be, you know, lucrative and make you money. And I said, you know what, it's important. Yes, you want to have some security. This is why I still work a 9-to-5 job to to pay the mortgage and the insurance and all that stuff to fund my career. But it's important to do what makes you happy. It really is, because you can go and choose this major that everybody else wants you to choose because they think it's going to make you so much money or make you successful. But you look up 20 years from now, you're not happy. I'm a firm believer in doing what you want to do to make yourself happy. Be secure, yes. Have that security. But at the end of the day, do what makes you happy.
Right.
And you don't have to, like my college readers and college students, you don't have to have it all together right now. If you're in school, you do have time. If you think you want to do something when you first start and you change your mind, that's okay. It's okay. But at the end of the day, do what makes you happy.
That's true. You got to put the work in.
So what does writing mean?
Oh.
What does writing mean for you?
Writing is and has always been like a... It's a very freeing thing. It's like an escape for me. When I'm feeling down, I write poetry. When I'm feeling sad, I write poetry. When I'm feeling happy, I write stories. So it's like it's a way for me to express myself, even if some things I may write, nobody would ever read. But it's a way for me to express myself because, you know, through words and on paper is how I can express myself when I can't read. In times I can't really express it verbally. you know, I can be very closed off sometimes. So it's like it's an escape for me from certain things, and it's also a way to it's peace. It's very peaceful for me. So writing to me, if I didn't write, I would probably lose my mind. I'm an Aquarius. I'm weird. Where Aquariuses are a little bit eccentric, and they have certain ways that they deal with things, and they can be very closed off and, you know, kind of cold sometimes. But we need a way to express ourselves, and writing is how I express myself, and it's how I free myself. So writing means everything to me.
Okay.
Well, that's where your passion is.
Yes.
Well, you know, child, here on Let's Chat, we like to do some fun stuff. And okay. He always comes with some fun questions. I'm excited. Since you like to write, I know this is going to be good. So
oh,
I'm excited.
God, don't put me on the spot. I'm not good on the spot.
See, this is the thing. This is why we do what we do here on Let's Chat. We as a reader, and we're readers first, you feel the pen. Mm-hmm. You feel that author's passion through their pen when you read their work. But when you haven't experienced that author, you haven't experienced their work, that's why you have Let's Chat. We bring that author to the readers so that they can experience that author's passion of why they do what they do, and then they get a little taste of their creativity. And so I'm excited because I know you're very creative. So I'm
absolutely
excited to see what she got as I rub my hands together.
This is going to be bad. I'm telling you right now, this is going to be terrible. I'm not good on the spot. I'm telling
together.
You. And I ramble.
No problem. All your ramble is going to wrap up to something nice and juicy. But first and foremost, JB, thank you so much for joining me tonight. We always enjoy when you come into the chat room, sharing some of your precious time with us as well as our listeners, because from what you shared with us, you got a lot going on. So we thank you for
that.
Thank you.
No problem.
But your creative juices are about to overflow, because I'm going to give you three props, and I want you to choose. You can choose any character from your book, or you can make one up tonight. But your three props tonight, if you can bring it all together and give us a live excerpt, are some thigh-high boots, a straight jacket, and a feather.
We ready. We ready.
I gotta pick a feather. This is not gonna be.
You
good.
Gotta. All three gotta be. You gotta pick a scene from the book and throw them in the scene. We know they fast up in that book.
Wait, I gotta pick a scene from my book.
Pick a scene, or you can create a new scene, and put those props in the scene.
Oh, all three props. Oh my god. God, come on. You didn't even give me a heads up to do this.
I did. I said we love to do something fun.
No, you didn't tell me that I had to make up a story on the spot through the three props. I have never used written about a straight jacket. Okay, all right. So I have to come up with a scene. Okay. Give me a second.
We'll wait.
So just a feather. Okay, so it's a feather. I'm trying to think of something. A feather, a straight jacket, and thigh-high boots or a high-heel boots?
Mm-hmm. Thigh-high boots. High-heel thigh-high boots.
See, I'm trying to stall. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I can't. I'm so drawing a blank.
Okay. Take one out. And throw it in there.
Okay. All right. Okay. So the sound of the rain hitting against the window didn't faze Chastity Parker. as she sat at her desk writing in her journal. The pen that she used this time wasn't her typical pen. Was a pen with a feather on it. She liked the feather because the feather was black, and that is her favorite color to wear. Funny thing is, while she was writing her journal, she was getting ready for her date with her boyfriend, Jason. And her outfit that she had on as she glanced in the mirror while she was writing the last of her thoughts in her journal consisted of some high heel boots that typically, again, wasn't her favorite color. They were red instead of black. She paired that to go with a red fitted dress that was his favorite and also his favorite color, which is red. She stood up from the table at the desk. She set her pen down and gave herself a once-over in her floorless mirror. As she smoothed her dress down, she realized it was a little tighter than she liked. So tight, as if she could imagine what a straight jacket felt like, it would probably feel like that. I got nothing else. Y'all can't do this to me.
That's sounding
crazy. Oh, Jesus. I done stuttered. See, that's okay. I do have a stuttering problem sometimes. Y'all got me, though. Y'all got me. But give me more time to prep if I had something better.
It was good. I like that. I was envisioning her at a desk with a pen and her black pen and her red. I was envisioning it.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you for humoring me.
And then I like how you threw in, you know, it wasn't her favorite color, but he liked it, you know, she liked black.
Right.
So you let us know about the character. You let us know that she likes to wear black. Black is her favorite color, but her man likes red, so she's into pleasing her man. See, we learned about the character.
Right.
All like that.
Just like that. See? 30 seconds.
Okay.
And we already see it, juice is flowing.
Okay, well, that's good, because my man's sweating. All right, now you got me sweating.
We love it. We so appreciate you coming to kick it with us here in the chat room. We want you to shout out all of your social media. We know you're on tour. Shout out your tour dates to those readers so that they can come out and meet and greet with the fabulous J.B. Vample.
Absolutely. Well, my website is www.jbvample.com. I'm on Facebook. My Facebook page is JB Vample, and I also have a fan page, which is the College Life Series. I'm on Instagram and Twitter with the handle at JB Vample, and I'm also on Snapchat at JB Vample. The next event that I have is Saturday, actually. I'll be flying out to California. It's the Limert Park Book Fair. That's in Los Angeles, California. That's this Saturday. And then September 29th, I'll actually be in Brooklyn, New York for the New York Black College Expo. And then in October 13th, I want to say, is the Sisters in Business Expo. I'll be at in Atlanta, Georgia. So those are my next three events I'm really excited about. So if you guys are in the area, please come check me out. Oh, I have one more thing. A couple of copies of the College Life series are actually on the shelf at Barnes & Noble at Georgia Tech in Atlanta. So my Atlanta people, go ahead down there and purchase your copies.
Awesome. Congrats.
That's the beginning.
Yes.
So.
Thank you
so much. It's just the beginning. So I'm working on more stores, but this is very big accomplishments. I'm very excited. So please, Atlanta and whoever's in the area, go support me. Thank you.
Absolutely. I might have to come check you out and support you when you come to Brooklyn.
Oh, yes. You're going to be there the 29th?
I'm in New York, so I go to Brooklyn every Saturday to get my hair done. Depending on the time, because I live on the island, but depending on the time, I should be able to come out and just say hey and get a quick hug and a quick bet of J.B. Vample straight jacket, red, and a black feather.
Right.
To remind you about some spontaneous.
Remind me about
those
things. Sounds good.
So thank you once again for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me. It was fun. Though you put me on the spot, I had a great time. Thank you so much.
We love it. Thank you for entertaining us.
No problem.
Have a good night.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. That was fun, Lisa.
That
like
was
that
fun.
Scent you put on it.
That was fun. Yeah. But, you know, and I love when authors give details like that. You know, I hate that APB rundown, like, she wore this and this and this and this, and she had on this, and she went here and here and here. I like authors that spread it out, give us a little knowledge of the character, mm-hmm. bring us into that character's world. You know, her favorite color is black. You know, she's into pleasing her man. His favorite color is red. You know, mm-hmm. so that mm-hmm. that brings us into a little bit of behind the scenes of the character. You know, you have
right.
those people that can relate, like, yeah, girl, I would have wore them boots for my man, too. You know, they can relate, and that's all the best part of being a reader is reading a book that is relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Relatable
exactly.
as far as mentally, relatable as far as whether you are in school and you're going through some of those same things, and it's just relatable by experience, but just something that is relatable. And then sometimes it takes you away from what you are going through and where you are in your world and takes you to a whole
mm-hmm.
new world for just a brief moment. And so that's the best part about being a reader.
Mm-hmm. And that goes right back to our topic. That helps a reader's time fly. And, you know, you just want to get away from the everyday life and get into the pages of a book. That's one of the things I love to do. And unfortunately, I don't get to do it as much as I used to because of our busy schedule. But that helps when you want to get into the pages and just let your imagination become what the author wrote on those pages. I just love it. Takes it to a different time.
Absolutely. So do I. We're going to take a brief break, and we will be back with the fabulous Shataya Sims.
Okay.
Running up the check, running up the check, yeah, yeah. Stepping on their neck, stepping on their neck, yeah, yeah. Haters popping off, I don't feel a threat, yeah, yeah. Better come correct, gotta get respect. I was born for this, I will go to war for this. I throw every feeling possible right out the door for this. I'm a savage, 21 savage, Captain Nick, no Afro-pick. Taking over, no apologies, I'm killing all this shit. Listen. I told you I'm a savage, but you wouldn't listen.
Uh-huh.
I came to take over the whole game, that's my mission. Karis Jordan, motherfucker, now pay attention.
Uh-huh.
Now that I got your attention,
uh-huh.
let me complete my sentence. Born in the slums, I hustle for crumbs, I saw for days. Now it's time to get paid, dug into my last day.
Right.
Streets made me a menace, mama didn't raise
uh-huh.
no fool. Bottom line, your course was mine, homie, I eat your food. I ain't with that mumble
uh-huh.
shit, the only thing that mumbles quick is when I put that muzzle on that bitch and I freeze that shit. Yeah, I'm insane. Nigga, crazy and I'm cold. Split personality, I don't know who's who. Screws loose, so watch what you say to me. I will snap out, I'm a New York Jersey nigga. But now I wanna run the south. It's not where you from,
that's
nigga
right.
It's where the fuck you at. So I switch that NY and flip it to a brave cat.
Running up the check, running up the check, yeah, yeah. Stepping on their neck, stepping on their neck, yeah, yeah. Haters popping off, I don't feel a threat, yeah, yeah. Better come correct, gotta get respect. I was born for this, I will go to war for this. If you standing in my way, you gon' be on the floor for this. I'm a savage, 21 savage, a grenade without a pen. Taking over, no apologies, I'm killing all this shit.
Hey, first off, you don't know who you fucking
that's
with
right.
That nigga KJ here bust quick. Better watch what you say when you run your lips. He's crazy in the range, you don't give a
uh-huh.
shit. Pop pills, that boy is so
that's
ill
right.
Disrespecting, you get killed.
Woo.
Spit venom like the Viper, the DC sniper to the bitches, I wear sleep hype, yeah. You don't want it with the kid from
Jersey.
Better pray to the Lord for some mercy.
Uh-huh.
Feel like a mic, I'm with fire. Stop putting on your raps, you liar.
Fire.
You ain't never do a big, you a bitch, nigga. You be lying in your raps, you ain't rich, nigga.
Uh-huh.
You don't want no war with the kid, nigga.
Woo.
I run up in your motherfucking crib, nigga. I kill you, and leave no witnesses.
No.
And write a book about
uh-huh.
it, like OJ Simpson did. I'm a savage nigga,
uh-huh.
I am out of my mind.
Right.
I'll hunt you down if you got diamonds that shine.
Right.
I'm on my grind, nigga, so don't you waste my time. And if you disrespect the king, you know you cross the line. I see you haters, nigga,
I
hear you haters talking.
You're
gonna end up 6 feet deep in the fucking coffin.
I'm
about my paper, I'm about my thriller, I'm
counting
figures.
Uh-huh.
I seen a cross in your eyes, that's why you switch, nigga. Oh, you a bitch, nigga,
uh-huh.
I'm counting chips, nigga. You keep on chasing ass,
I'm
getting rich, nigga.
Running up the check,
running up the check,
yeah, yeah.
Stepping on their neck, stepping on their neck,
yeah, yeah.
Haters popping off, I don't feel a threat,
yeah, yeah.
Better come correct, gotta get respect.
I'm
feel impossible right out the door for this. I'm a savage, 21 savage, Captain Nick, no alphabet. Taking over, no apologies, I'm killing all this here. Hey!
Get your roll on. I just did the plug, I need a hold on. Get your roll on. blood in my old one.
Get your roll on. Since your era, he don't work, so cut the stove on.
Yeah.
Pull up in my city, nigga, it's a war zone.
For real.
All I know is sir.
Hey.
Hit them all and spurred.
Hey.
My smoke stack's a perv.
Yeah.
Fuck what you heard. Tell me about some shit you know. About how to hit the trap and get your roll on.
Wreck.
8 in the morning, breaking them down with my robe on.
Uh-huh.
Heard some funny shit and I threw away my old phone.
Fuck.
Got some new bitches and I threw away my old hoes. One yellow gold, one rose gold. Pour cough syrup in my hot cocoa.
Whoa.
Stay away from broke hoes, that's a no-no.
Hey.
How'd you
hit the plug? I need a whole one.
Andale, andale.
How you bitch is fatter than my old one? Don't be calling me, I told her, hold on.
Hold on, man.
Pull up 93, now get your roll on. Get your roll on. Get your roll on. I just hit the plug, I need a whole.
Yeah.
I be that bitch for the head,
then
bitch that bitch for the bread. Talking about hundreds and fifties, then fuck that bitch on a dead. I am not trusting no nigga, they are not loyal to me. My little bitch got a bitch too, they hit me with the 13. I trust the perk and the lean, chase the codeine with the cream. I threw a 10 up in line, young nigga just being honest. Beat the Michael Jackson, hawking the pussy, I'm smashing. The Christian, that body, the fashion. You should throw it, I'ma catch it.
Roll on, roll on, get your roll on. 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 Hey,
how'd you hit the plug? I need a whole one.
Underlay, underlay.
I knew this is better than my old one. Don't be calling me, I told her, hold on.
Hold on,
man.
Hold on.
Pull up 93, now get your roll on. Get your roll on.
Hey, roll.
Plug, I need a whole one. Get your roll on. Get your roll on.
My new bitch is better than my old one. It's that ratchet plus. That ratchet plus. Hey, dude. It's that ratchet plus. Yeah. Peanut.
Alright, alright, alright. Yeah.
We are back. We are back. Welcome back to Let's Chat. I am Miss Leisha. You know, I got my right hand, the fabulous Miss Tony. We just had a fabulous interview with the one and only JB Vample. If you just tuned in and you missed her interview, no worries. Just head over to our archives here on blogtalk.com as well as any podcast app and iTunes and check it out. We have our next fabulous guest, the fabulous Shataya Sims. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hi, how are you? We are good. We are good. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
So you got to let us know what you've been cooking in your creative kitchen since the last time you've been in the chat room.
I think the last time I've been in the chat room, that's when my second book came out, I feel. That was nice. Since then, I completed the series, the whole Living Anonymous series, which was my first urban romance series. So right now I'm working on a suspense novel.
Oh, urban romance series. Okay, you can't just drop that little bomb and not tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so the first book was Living Anonymous, followed by Nice, and then Still Anonymous and Unveiled was the final book in the series. It pretty much is a coming-of-age love story, not just love with girl meets guy or guy meets girl, but it has a lot to do with self-love, relationships with family and friends, as well as knowing that family doesn't necessarily mean blood-related. So it takes an edge on all aspects, pretty much go through the ups and downs of this girl. You start at the age of 9, but I don't stay in there. I just wanted you to get an idea of her background, of her upbringing, of how she became who she is as a woman. So it starts when she was 9, it ends when she's 36. So you kind of grow with the characters.
That's a big age span. Why this series? Why not the traditional route of the of a romance and why did you want to focus on self-love? I'm sorry, this is Tony. We're going to try to remember to say who's speaking because we've been told we sound so much alike.
No worries. Self-love, because I feel like as women, we all share the same story, just with different characters and different scenes. So I feel like as women, we're hard on ourselves without society telling us, you know, what the standard of beauty is and how I'm supposed to act and, you know, just in general. So that's why I was like, I wanted to tell a full scope of this woman or this girl becoming a woman and her ups and downs and pitfalls. And I feel like, you know, every character is relatable, and you know, as women, we go through our stages of life. So that's why, like, it's a big span of childhood, teenage years, young adult, woman.
And that's so important, Satan, because I don't know at what point we as women stop feeling that way or stop comparing ourselves, you know, to the next. And how has the reception been for your series?
Great. Honestly, it's been wonderful. The first book was released in 2015. It was pulled off the shelves briefly just because I had signed with the publisher. Since that, me and the publisher are no longer in cahoots with one another. Nothing bad, just, you know, it just wasn't the right fit. And, you know, people are still buying, people are still reading. I just had a book event 2 weeks ago and gained some new readers. So it's one of those ageless, timeless novels.
And we so need those, especially as young women, because, like I said, I don't know when we ever stop feeling the way, you know, that self-love wouldn't ever really stop. Now, what would you tell a typical reader that is new to your series that may be listening? Just give them, like, three or four jewels that you want them to take away from your series.
Don't be so hard on yourself. We're all human. We all make mistakes. The first guy that says, I love you, is not, 9 times out of 10, I don't want to put it out there, but 9 times out of 10 is not your happily ever after. Because most of us fall in love for the first time, teenage or young adult. And when I say young adult, I mean like your early 20s. Typically, you don't really know yourself as a person until you reach about 31, 32 years old. So, you know, you're just going to go through your ups and downs in life, and it's okay. You're going to fail, and when through your failures, it's okay as long as you don't stay down and you pick yourself up. Surround yourself by positive people that's just not going to tell you what you want to hear, because you do need that person in your ear telling you when you're wrong and when you need to get up off your behind and do something. So, like I said, that's why I said the book deals with a lot of topics, from depression to rape to absentee fathers to drug abuse, and it touches on every topic imaginable that a person can go through or the characters go through. It's not just one person going through, you know, this ordeal, but each character goes through their own story, but they, you know, they're triumphed through their story.
Wow, that's powerful. And it touches on subjects that are relatable today. You know, like our last guest was saying, she doesn't put a year or a time. Her story is timeless, so that should you pick it up 5-10 years from now, you can still relate to it. How important is that to you when your readers pick up your book, be it now or 5 years from now?
It's very important. Mine does have dates because you need to know how the world was back when. Like I said, she starts out, the book starts out in 1989, and she's in foster care. And if anybody knows anything about, you know, old foster care systems, they weren't as tough and regulated as they are today. So they were putting these kids just anywhere without doing the proper background checks or anything on these people. So it is a timeless piece. It does take you through history. People who are my age or older or whatever can be like, oh my God, I remember this, just because it deals with the music and the atmosphere and the culture, especially Black culture during that time. Like, music is heavily influenced throughout the book because she is an entertainer. So, but it is a timeless piece just because, like I said, it's a story of a girl growing into a woman. And I feel, like I said, I feel like we all share the same story, just different scenes and different characters in our own storyline.
Awesome. And it's all parallel. Now, this is still Tony. How have you grown as an author as well as a woman since you started out on your literary journey?
Oh, my goodness. So when I first finished the book, I was between 24 and 26, and I didn't release it right away. I don't have a rhyme or reason as to why I did not. It was just one of those things that I wrote a book and just sat on it. When I went back to pick it up in my early 30s, and I was like, oh, my God, I've grown so much as a woman that I was able to manipulate the characters as such. And, like, okay, a grown woman wouldn't do this or think this way, at least, you know, a mature one anyway. So I definitely matured with the characters, and they matured with me. Just, like, my journey as far as child, girl, woman. So it all interplays and it's all interweaving within this storyline.
And that's important as well, because if you see the growth in yourself and you see it in your pen, you want that to be reflected to your readers as well.
Absolutely.
Now, as you see yourself emerging as an author in this industry, are there any veterans that you look to for like guidance or just to see how they move in the industry?
I admire every author out there. I do. Do I look to others as guidance? I may look at their story as to how they started and where they are now. But I don't try to imitate other people's moves because I feel like in this industry you kind of have to do what works for you. So just because, you know, this worked for this author may not necessarily mean that it's going to work for me too. So I kind of, you know, figure stuff out on my own. I do my research. Like I said, I admire plenty of authors. I admire their artwork. I admire the steps that they've taken. Like, I do admire that, but I kind of go to the beat of my own drum, if you will. And that's okay. So that's why I tell any new author, like, you don't have to go with the trend. You have to do what your heart is telling you to do and where you're comfortable at.
That was a part of my next question. You know, with that all being said, what are some of the biggest challenges that you face as a new author in this industry? In addition to just trying to be yourself?
More so the biggest challenge is trying to get readers to notice you, just because if you are a new author, like, readers kind of tend to shy away from new authors. And, you know, I get it. I understand. But it's more like, you know, trying to get the readership, trying to get the fan base. So through that, you know, it's a lot of networking. It's a lot of book fairs and book events. And, hey, when I first started out, like, I gave free copies away just trying to build that fan base, and it paid off, so I'm very grateful for that.
And that's now one of the reasons Leisha and I do, that's one of the reasons we do what we do here on Let's Chat. We love having new authors to the industry so that readers can get to hear them and get to know them and know their passion behind what it is that they do.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that
you
brought that up.
We do.
We appreciate you because you guys put in the work. But you did something, I want to say it was last year, that maybe it was the year before last, but what you did set an example, in my opinion, for a lot of authors who talked about not being able to get their book certain places. But you got your book in the hands of Just Hilarious. Tell us a little bit about that and how you did it.
Okay, so you gotta have your work with you at all times. I carry my book in the trunk of my car. If I know I'm going to an event where I'm likely to run into a celebrity, I put it in my pocketbook because I don't never want to miss an opportunity. So Just Hilarious was in at Cheltenham High School. It's a high school in Philadelphia, and they do their annual All-Star basketball tournament, which really is like anybody from the community that went to the high school, from students all the way through, you can be a senior citizen, all are welcome to participate in this event. So I went to the event. I knew that the local radio station was going to host the event. I did not know Jess Hilarious was going to be there. So I see her. I ran to the trunk of my car. I grabbed the book. And, you know, I introduced myself. And I didn't want to be overbearing, but I was like, hey, do you mind if I give you a book? I was like, it'll be free. I autographed it. We talked a little bit. And I never in a million years, I really thought she would just put the book to be nice. I never thought that she would have made a whole Instagram post on it. So I'm very grateful that she did. But that's primarily what I do. I always, always, always have books on me. And that is very important, especially if you're just trying to start out, and especially because it's only going to take that one person. Get your book in that one person. Like, give that book to that one person, and it can change your life. And that's how I see it.
That's awesome.
I love it. So, you're writing. You moving around.
Writing.
You are doing things a little bit differently from the first time you stepped into the industry. What are
some of
the challenges? I say you're doing things differently from the first time you stepped into the industry. What are some of the
mm-hmm.
challenges that you see yourself facing as you move and push your brand forward?
The biggest challenge is actually the challenge within myself. I will not lie about that. I get lazy. I get stagnant. I get, unmotivated, if you will. So it's the biggest challenge is me pushing myself. That's the biggest obstacle. The next obstacle, of course, is just getting myself out there more. Like, I haven't been to the West Coast yet. I really do plan on going there, but primarily I've just been, working along the East Coast, and I kind of want to push myself out further so I can meet people, network, and everything, because I'm not a household name. But that's my goal. I want to be a household name. I want to be the Terry McMillan or the Aaron Jerome Biggie or not. And I know through that, like, you got to work for it. You do have to work for it. Like, nothing's going to just be handed to you or come easy. And if it does, then, that's just pure luck. But other than that, I know there's a lot of steps I have to take, and I am pushing through. I'm striving. I'm networking. And hopefully, the success will come to me. But I'm not necessarily chasing it, if you know what I mean. If an author is in this game solely for the money, then your ride is going to be a little tricky than others. I'm not in it for the money. Yes, I do want the money eventually, but that's not the first love. I really have a passion in writing, and I love sharing my work with the world.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because, some people feel like when you write a book, oh, that's it, I'm going to make money. Even publishers, you got publishers that feel like, oh, I got a publishing company, I got authors, I'm going to make money. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. You have to think outside of the book. What are some of the ways you think outside of your book to ensure that you're able to move your feet in this industry?
Like I said, it's a lot of book fairs. It's a lot of networking. I did a whole book reel on the first book where all the music was original. I hired actors, and it wasn't just words on the screen. Like, they were literally acting out. It was a music video type situation, and they were acting out, and you saw the emotions, and you saw, pieces of the book, and it kind of captivates you because, like I said, it's all original music, even the score, like the producing and the production and the music itself. Everything was original. Thank God that I have talented friends that were able to help me and guide me along the way. Issa Rae said it best. industry was like, you don't need $1 million to make your product boom. All you need is the people within your network. And if you utilize your network, then we're all able to help each other out. So, and I truly believe that.
Oh. Absolutely. Absolutely. Christy Lux tells me all the time, she tells me that all the time, utilize your Rolodex. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You have so many people in the Rolodex, you can utilize your Rolodex, and you'd be surprised what can happen once you just utilize what you have in your Rolodex. I'm so glad that you said that, because some people, you know, they go to events and they get frustrated when they may not sell a book, but I always say that's a networking opportunity. You never know who you're going to come in the midst of, who you're going to come in the presence of. When you go to different events, I saw an author at an event, and she didn't have her book. And I asked her, where was her phone? And she said, right here in my purse. I said, okay. That's where your book should be, in your purse. You should have it with you like you carry that phone around. You should have it with you like you carry your wallet. You should have something, and you know, so that you're ready. Not you got to get ready, but you are ready. Anything can happen. You could be at the gas station, and Ludacris can pull up. What you got in your purse?
Exactly. And that's why I said I always have my books in the trunk of my car. And it's funny you said that, because it's like I went to Canada and I did the Toronto Book Expo last year. Now, I didn't go this year, but I did attend last year. And honestly, I only sold 3 books. And I was fine with that. I am one of those authors that are fine with selling 1, 2. Well, as long as I sell something, I am okay with that. Because you know why? That one person, if you got a good product and you believe in it, that one person is going to read your book, and they're going to talk to 12 other people, and that 12 other people can turn to 24, and then, you know, so on and so forth. And you have to look at it that way. You get one new reader, that's a potential of getting 20 more new readers, because word of mouth is the best advertising you'll ever get.
Absolutely. That's how your book develops legs, and it goes in every direction that you can dream of.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, child, see, you know, here in Let's Chat, we like to do something fun, because, you know, we like to make sure that we introduce you and your talent and your skills to our listeners. And we like to give them a little taste of your pen. So I'm excited, because we know you know what it is. And I'm excited for what T got for you. So let's just get started, because I know it's going to be good, and it's going to be juicy, and we ready.
Well, first of all, to say we thank you for joining me, Shania. You know, we always enjoy when you spend some of your precious time with us here on Let's Chat. So we thank you for that. But we want to hear your creative juices flow, and we want you to give us a live excerpt, and I'm going to give you tonight's 3 props, which are pretty interesting. The first prop is some thigh-high boots. The second one is a straight jacket, and the third one is a feather. If you could just give us a live excerpt from any of your characters, any book, we would truly appreciate it. And we sit here with our popcorn and our red cups. We waiting.
And our fuzzy slippers. We ready.
Okay, what did you say? I heard straight jacket and a character. I'm so sorry. Repeat that.
Okay, your props are your thigh-high boots, a straight jacket, and a feather.
Okay, thigh-high boots, straight jacket, and what was the last one?
A feather.
A what?
A feather.
A feather. Oh, come on. My 16-year-old is in the car.
She's believing. I can't talk freely right now.
My baby is in the car. And he's looking at me like, what? And I got it.
Mom, what kind of show is this you all? Right about that? These folks want you to talk about
Look,
who's
look,
not
you sitting there saying, y'all nasty. Look, you got to hear me talking about y'all nasty. That's why I was late. Like, I was doing the school shopping thing and everything.
giving you the side eye, like, Mom, what you be writing about? What did you really got going on? I did write one of my books.
He got his hands on one of my books. I appreciate that, but he got his hands on Nice. And he was like, you just fulfilled every teenage boy's fantasy. And I was like, no, you are not allowed to read my book. It is not for you. But and he's sitting here talking about it like, yep, fulfilled every teen man's fantasy.
In case you didn't know, Mom.
But I didn't know every teenager's thing was to get with their teachers, so that's a little spoiler.
Really?
Nice.
We got an eye on you, mister. Don't. It's in a book. Don't try it. Your teacher will come up missing. Everybody got time for that.
I know. He know I'm crazy.
Okay. So.
But if you give me something PG.
Okay, so I got a question for you. We're going to let you slide this time. Next time, though, we got you. We got you
okay.
Next time.
And I promise I'll be away from him and we can do this.
So our topic of the show is how time flies, right? And so your books deal a lot in relationships and time really flies in relationships, especially when you're all wrapped up or unwrapping, depending on what's going on. Now, there's a difference, though. I don't know if you watch Love Is, but they were talking about this on the show on the last episode, which was the season finale. And it was saying how Yasir was saying it's basically how he enjoyed when the process when you're in love and you're not thinking, you're just doing. And then his best friend was saying how he loves his woman, but he's there because he has to be there. Can you talk a little bit about that when it comes to relationships? Because a lot of times that is a relationship in the whole from the beginning of a relationship where you're doing things and you're not thinking. You don't have a thought process. You're just doing. And then after a while something happens and there's a switch and you're just there and you're doing what you're supposed to do or what you need to do. Talk a little bit about that in a relationship.
Okay, so we all know anything new is sparkly and shiny and great. It's like having a new toy or whatever. So, of course, you and this person are just can't get enough of each other. You, like, want to melt in each other's love. And I get that. And I feel like every strong relationship starts out that way. And I would say, you know, hopefully for most, like around, I guess, 4 or 5 years into the relationship, you kind of, the fire kind of dwindles down. So I don't know if you're married, you may have kids or whatever, but I personally tend to think that people get lost in their relationship. It's like you kind of lose your identity. Like you just want to spend all your time with this person, and you forgot that you have a whole life outside of this person. So I always tell people, like, you still have to find your boundaries. You can still be with this person, but remember who you are outside of this person, because God forbid this relationship doesn't work out. You done cut your ties with all your befores and your day ones because you were so involved with this one person. Even in a marriage, like, I feel that it's important for our wife and a husband to have their time. When I say their time, I mean away from wife and kids, because if all you're doing is working and going home and working and going home, like, you're going to, like, that'll drive anybody crazy. And this is just my opinion only. Please don't beat me up for it. So I always felt like when I get married and I have the husband and I have the kids, like, I'm in a relationship now and we talk a lot. And I said, I think it's important that at least once a month
like one Saturday a month or whatever, that will be your day to do whatever it is you want. Of course, you can't cheat or nothing like that, but you can leave the wife and the kids at home. You can go out with your boys. You can have fun. That is your time. And then, you know, the next week will be my time. Now, this is once a month. I didn't say, like, you know, do it all the time. But I just feel like it's important that you remember who you are in a relationship. And you have things, you like to do things outside of your relationship. And that's just my opinion and my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. That's important.
Absolutely. And it
mm-hmm.
is. Because, you know, sometimes I think, you know, well, you know how they always say you can look into a person's eyes and you can kind of see their soul, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sometimes you become disconnected, you know, with the hustle and the bustle and the running around the life. But sometimes when you look into a man's eyes or even into a woman's eyes, you'll be able to see. If you see, like, I want to be happy, but I can't, I don't know how, you'll see that in their eyes. You'll see frustration.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see, but that means you're able to see them. You know what I'm saying? I love when that new part, everything is new. And I think that I don't see relationships as forever. I don't see them as forever. I think that when you look into somebody's eyes and you can't see them, then to me that's a reset period. Because even when things are crazy, you have to be able to see that person. Because you have
mm-hmm.
to be able to know what's going on. And if you can't see them, if you can't feel them, then you're out of sync. You see what I'm saying? And so then that's
mm-hmm.
what that happens. You get stuck in and you lose yourself. You lose yourself. They've lost themselves and nobody can recognize that something is off. Until, you know, something happens or an argument, you know what I'm saying? Or I'm not necessarily cheating, but, you know, an argument or something happens or you know, a death. You don't really think about it until something happens to kind of shake you up a little bit.
Right.
So now when you sit down to write these books, what are some of the things you like to ensure you instill in your readers through your characters?
I love emotion. I am going to pull at your heartstrings as much as I can. I'm not a monster or nothing like that. Like, I just don't want to see people cry. But I love when readers reach out to me and say, I bawl at this part and whatnot. And it'll catch me by surprise because certain parts I'm like, yeah, I'm going for the jugular. I want them to feel that emotion. And people will go through a whole different part and be like, no, I cried at this part. And I was like, that is not what I was going for. But I guess that's art. You know, people interpret how they want to interpret things. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I quite like it's a life and it's a roller coaster. And I'm just talking about this one series. It's a life. It's a roller coaster. A roller coaster is not always going up and it's not always going down. You have your peaks. You have your highs. You have your lows. I didn't want to tell the perfect love story because there's no such thing as a perfect love story. So that's
mm-hmm.
why it was important for me to go through these motions with these two characters, and they put each other through the ringer. It's like, it's not a steady heartbeat. It's not steady. It's not, you know, I found the one and we're just doing this together. It's no, I hate you one day. I love you the next. I can't stand you. I'm going to fight you. Oh, just hold me. It's everything in this relationship because that's what a relationship between a man and a woman is. It's not perfect, but this series is like the imperfectly perfect love story for them, if I'm making
mm-hmm.
sense.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that you say that because the one thing I always say is that we are imperfect people, always looking for perfection out of other imperfect people, and we're never going to find it. But that means
mm-hmm.
that we're lacking perfection in ourselves, and so we have to go outward to find something to fill us on the inside when it's really us that's missing things. And the one thing about energy is energy never dies. It never dies. It just transforms into something else. So in a relationship, you have that energy. Like, I've driven 100 miles out of love, and it didn't feel like 100 miles. I didn't think of it as 100 miles. You know what I'm saying? It's you just do stuff. You don't think, you're just doing it. But when you start thinking or things get different, then all of a sudden your mind starts clicking a little bit. And then you start like, okay, well, see, so energy doesn't change, but it turns into anger. And it turns into different levels of emotion. And so I love that you like to bring that out in your characters and in your books, because a lot of times when you're in a relationship and they say, oh, yeah, we fell out, we on bad terms, really, that's really love. Love turns into anger real fast. That energy transforms into anger really fast, but that anger is really hurt. Hurt, unresolved hurt that hasn't been addressed. You see what I'm saying? Or hurt feelings, or something that hasn't been tapped into that you're avoiding. You see what I'm saying? So a lot of times we do that automatically, and I love that you put it in your book because that makes it relatable. T and I were talking about that at the top of the show. Books that are characters that are relatable and books that are relatable, that's what draws us in as readers.
And we thank you for drawing that.
Thank you.
Well, we so thank you for coming to kick it with us here on the chat room. We want you to go and shout out all of your social media, any events that you have coming up where everybody can get a piece of Shataya Sims' mind.
Hey, I'm all over Amazon. you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at author Shataya Sims. My website is being revamped at the moment, but when it's back up, it is ShatayaSims.com. I also have, for anybody interested in looking at the book reels to see if, you know, if this book is a fit for you or you're something you're interested in, you can just Google Living Anonymous. It's on YouTube. And like I said, it plays out as a music video, ironically. I also have book shorts up there as well. And for Kindle Unlimited or just Kindle Imperial, you can kind of get the samples on Amazon, excuse me. And I have all 5-star reviews. I have some, you know, 4s, but predominantly they're all 5-star reviews. And please, I hope I gain a new reader or at least an interested reader. So
awesome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, ladies. And thank you so much for opening this platform for all authors.
Oh,
and we appreciate
you.
And we will see you soon, because I know you will have great things coming. So we're going to see you soon, closer to the end of the year, top of 2019, to see what you got popping.
Yes. Thank you so much, ladies.
Okay, have a great evening.
You are so welcome.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was awesome.
Absolutely. I love Girls Night. No offense, men, but I do. I love Girls Night. We appreciate everybody that came to kick it with us today. Unfortunately, Arthur Rain was not able to stop into the chat room, but we will get her rescheduled for the next time. Next week, we have a show tomorrow. We have the fabulous Bianca Harrison, Laquana Jones, and Kate Roche. And then next week we have the fabulous Team Conglomerate. They're going to be in here kicking down the chat room door, so I'm excited. And on the Wednesday the 29th, we have Amir, Stacey Covington, and Marie Dunn. They're going to kick in the chat room doors. Just know that these are our last 3 shows until October. We will be taking a break. You know, we always take a break twice a year. We take a break towards the holiday too. But we are excited. But T won't have a break because Scoreboard will be back. She'll be talking that talk, everything sports, with the fabulous Scoreboard Jazz. We will see y'all on tomorrow, and y'all have a great night.
Thanks for joining us. Good night.
Good night.
Nobody sums it up like breathing money team.
We first to death, we first to death. We first to death, we first to death.
Like a funeral home.
We first to death, we first to death.